Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. It has been a day of rejoicing. It has been a day of joy. And it has been a day of sadness for some. And it has been a day that we continue to just look to the hills from which cometh our help. I just want to thank you again for being faithful to this program, actually to this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio. We have Pastor Michael Crow on the program again, bringing us an expository teaching in the book of Mark, chapter 7. And he's going to let us know what verses we're going to focus on concerning our topic, something about the dog in me. Isn't that interesting? Most of us can say that we have an old nature that acts like a dog at times. Now, stick with me. For example, a dog without a master is labeled a stray dog, a dirty dog, a low-down dog, a hound dog, a hot dog, or a wild dog. Now, a nature that acts like a dog with a master is labeled an obedient dog, a watchdog, a rescue dog, a well-kept dog, or a lap dog. So let's focus on Mark 7, and we're going to zoom in on verses 24 through 30 concerning the faith of a Syrophoenician woman who answered, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." So, Pastor Crow, will you do an expository teaching on this passage of Scripture?
Well, once again, thank you again, Sister Smith, and once again, as always, we want to thank God for the God in you for giving you this ministry to spread the gospel of Christ throughout this world. And we thank you for your consistency in the word and your consistency in throwing seeds across the world. And I just want to make mention that I know our radio audience and listening audience don't know. I want to thank God for you, and especially the fact we know you, most people don't know that your mother went on home, you lost your mother, and even Amen. In spite of that, you're still lifting up the bloodstained banner. And only the Holy Amen. Spirit could do that in a person. So we send you our sympathy and empathy in this moment of bereavement. But we thank God that he gives you the ability to stand under any kind of situation. And we thank God for the life of your mother. And she'd be proud of you right now that you're holding up the bloodstained banner. But let's take a look at this scripture, that passage, something about the dog in me. Now, I guess some of our audience probably say, "Sister Smith, now what is he talking about now? What do he mean, the dog in me?" And we pray right now that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes, open our understanding, and show us what he wants us to see, and tell us what he wants us to know, and lead us in the path that he would have us to go. Now, starters, why don't we start at that? Let's start at that. What I say, the 17th verse. And read from the 14th verse, all the way down to that 28th verse, and let's see what God is trying to tell us through this scripture. Once again, I want to welcome the audience, and once again, we want to pray that the Holy Spirit would be the teacher and the speaker, the listener, the hearer, and the doer. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Sister Smith, in order to give us a better view, why don't we just start with the, I think we say with the 18th verse, and come on down. Would you like to read that for us? And I would like all our listening audience to get your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Mark chapter 7. And we're going to start at that 18th verse. Amen?
Okay. Amen.
Would you do the pledge of submission?
Sure, not a problem at all. And it reads this way. And it reads this way. 18th verse, Mark chapter 7. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornications, murders, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lavishness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man known it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nature, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Verse 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed.
Amen. What a blessing. Let's zero in on the 27th verse in that 7th chapter, which is where we would take our text from. It said, but Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. The 28th verse said, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumb. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Now, when we zero in the dog, now, in some religious cultures, in most religious cultures, we see it much today, most theologians and scholars talk about how the Jewish people, all those people, nationalities that were not Jewish, and even in our Muslim religion, those that aren't Muslim, they are called heathens, or sometimes the term dogs, because they are not of the bloodline of the true Hebrew. Or in Muslim cases, they are not true Muslims. Now, we know that Gentiles are everybody that's not a Jew. If you're not Jewish, many use the term to describe Greek or whatever as dogs, as heathens. And what's particularly interesting in this particular verse is that this Gentile woman, this Syrophoenician woman, came to Jesus because of her daughter's evil spirits. But she came to Jesus seeking help for her daughter. Now, in order to understand this scripture, let's back up a little bit. Let's get us a launching pad, and let's see how we got to this verse. Let's go back to, if you have your Bibles, turn back to that 7th chapter. And if you were to read that 7th chapter, you would find out that Jesus had just had a discussion with the Pharisees concerning ceremonialism. You read that passage of scripture, you'll see where they brought it to Jesus' attention that his disciples ate bread, but they didn't wash their hands. And they brought up the fact that that was a part of their ceremonial duty, that they washed their hands before eating. Now, of course, we know that's the sanitary thing to do. But Jesus, being omniscient, he knew that this was a attack, or this was a way to test him, to see what he would say and how he would react. And as you go on and read this passage, you'll find out that Jesus, in the end, told him that it's not what goes in a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of a man. Jesus goes on, and that's where you get to the last part of that verse. He said, and he said to them, He said, what comes out of a man, that with the father, that from without of the heart of man possess evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. And if you go back and read, Jesus had been dealing with them all along, because they were always looking for a way to catch Jesus in the wrong, or maybe to ask him a question where he would say something that they could attack him. And when we find out Jesus dealt with them, answered them, and the Bible says that he moved on. Now, when you go to that 24th verse, look what it says. And from this he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Jesus had been through so much that his humanity began to show. He was tired. And all you got to do is just read back in the 5th chapter. He did a lot of healing. They brought all the sick to him. If you read the 6th chapter, you see where he walked on water. When you read, you see he had done so much and healed so many, until in his human body he was tired. And he ended it that, and what really made him more tired in the end, he had to argue again with these Pharisees about what really defiled a man. They so stuck on ceremonialism that they trying to catch him in the car, but he had to remind them that it's not what goes in a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. Now, many theologians would say that he left from this going into Gentile land because he was tired of arguing with the Pharisees. But let's just say he was tired and he wanted to get some rest, because you know he was all man and all God. He wasn't tired in the spiritual, but he was tired in the physical. But it said he went to a house and he wished that no one would know where he was. But in that 25th verse it says, for a certain woman. Now we always talk that certain. We could put our name there. It doesn't give us a name of the person, but whenever you see certain, just put your name there. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, now watch this passage here, heard of him. And here's an incident where, first of all, she was seeking Jesus, and she found him. And when she found him, she explained to Jesus, like a mother would, the problem that her child had. She said she heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Now, I want to underline that fell at his feet, heard of him. And I, being a Baptist preacher, I got to park right here for a minute, and I want to ask the audience, what have you heard about Jesus? Many of us that don't have a relationship with Jesus, many of us do have a relationship. But to those that don't have a relationship with Jesus, my question this morning, this evening to you is, what have you heard about Jesus? And I think back in my young days, that coming up in church, I used to hear the elders say, he's a healer. He's a doctor that never lost a case. I used to hear them say that he's a doctor that never lost a patient. He's a lawyer that never lost a case. He's a friend when you are friendless. He will lift up your hung down head. What have you heard about Jesus? There's somebody out there tonight, you're going through some things in your life, and you kind of want to come to Jesus, but you really don't know, and you've tried everything else, and you're trying everything else, but the end result in the back of your mind, you heard that Jesus is a heart fixer and a mind regulator. He's a problem solver. And my request to you today is you need to seek him and search for him because he's the only one that can help you. Now watch this here. From this lesson, we can learn three things. First of all, let's look at number one, her approach. Many of us need God to do some things for us. Many of us have issues. And we see here maternal love, the love of a mother for her daughter. She sought Jesus. She found Jesus. And she, the Bible say, fell at his feet. And I want to let you know today, if you're seeking Jesus, if you need the help of Jesus based on what you heard, you got to know how to approach him. And the way you approach him is that you fall down at his feet. Do you remember the demoniac that hid in the graveyard? When he saw Jesus, he what? Fell down at his feet. And when you get to the end of the story of that demoniac, he was enclosed in his right mind. And many of our problems today is that we don't know how to approach Jesus. Some of us want to approach him with our money. Some of us want to approach him with our intellect. Some of us want to approach him with our game. Sometimes we're too cocky. Sometimes we're too arrogant. Sometimes we want to approach him in our bigotness. But this Syrophoenician woman that sought Jesus and found him because she heard that he was a healer. When she saw him, she fell down at his feet. Now, I ain't talking about falling down at the preacher's feet, the bishop's feet, the teacher's feet. I'm talking about at the feet of Jesus. Well, how do you do that, preacher? You can fall down on your feet at his feet in prayer. And that's the what? Right approach. So number one, those of you that have some issues in your life, those of you that need help in your life, the first thing you need to have or know what to do is how to approach Jesus. You got to get off your high horses and fall down at his feet in prayer. You remember Martha and Mary, one got mad with the other because one was doing all the work, the other one was where? At his feet. And many times we have to go to church, go to Sunday school, go listen to the radio, listen to God in a man. Sometimes you just got to sit down and listen to God in a man. But she had to what? Right approach. Some folk can't get help from Jesus because they don't know how to approach him. But I challenge you tonight. I challenge you to fall on your knees and tell him all about it. Tell him about your daughter. Tell him about your husband. Tell him about your wife. Tell him about your financial situation. Tell him about your relationship situation. But You got to know how to approach him. You got to fall down at his feet. That's my first point. You don't learn nothing tonight. You got to learn. This Syrophoenician woman shows us what? The right approach. Some of us can't never get no prayer through, can't never get what we want because we don't know how to approach God. But wait a minute, we don't want to get hung up there, but that's a good point. But then it say, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now watch this here, in that 27th verse. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread, and that bread is the blessings, and cast them unto the dogs. And in that 28th verse, look what she said. And she answered and said unto him, now notice the writing. And that's one thing about God's word. Every word, every number, every word, every phrase in God's word means something. Now, in my Bible, the King James Version, it says, and she answered and said unto him, comma. Yes, comma, which means she paused. She said, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumb. Now, first of all, she showed us the right approach. Here she shows us, number two, the right appeal. Jesus called her a dog. And rather than her get upset, and rather than her get mad, and rather than her shake her head, and rather than her walk off mad, she had the right appeal. She said, yes, Lord. And sometimes when God don't see things the way we ought to see it, sometimes we get mad. Sometimes when God, through the Holy Spirit, put his finger on our nose to discipline us, we get mad. Some people still mad because he took mama. Some people still mad because he took dad. Some people still mad because you wanted that financial blessing and you gave $50,000 but you didn't get it back. Some people still mad because they were born in poverty. Some people still mad. And guess what? They don't have the right appeal. They don't know how to fall down at his feet. They can't accept when God say no. And sometimes his saying no is best for us because he know what we need. We know what we want. So in spite of being called a dog, she didn't get mad. She didn't shake her head at Jesus. She didn't point her finger and say, I know you didn't call me no doctor. She didn't do that. Now, if that had been one of y'all, you'd have been mad with Jesus and you'd still be talking about him right now. Today, the scripture would say, and she started talking. But she had the right appeal. She said, yes, Lord. And if you want God to help you, you got to. He disciplines us sometimes because he loves us. And he tells us no sometimes because it's not good for us. And he points out our shortcomings sometimes because can't nobody else point them out to us. And rather than get mad, you have to accept the fact that he knows all about you. The writer say, he know my getting up and my sitting down. He know my going and my coming. He know all about you. As a matter of fact, he know more about you than you know about your own self. And in some instances in your life, he has told you no. And somebody's still mad with it. Rather than saying, yes, Lord. I wish I had somebody right here. I know some folks out there, man, God didn't, you listen to the preacher, you say, I'm gonna give this, I'm gonna give Jesus a chance, I'm gonna try to, I heard it, but then time things don't go your way. You got the wrong appeal. But this woman, we don't learn nothing. We got to learn that, guess what? When you need God's help, you got to have the what? Right approach. Fall down at his feet. And when he tells you something you don't want to hear, you have to have the right appeal. Yes, Lord. But now watch this. Watch this, because she had the right appeal. She said, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Lord have mercy. Lord, I know I'm not worthy, but while on others thou art calling, please don't pass me by. Father, have mercy on me. She had to write a appeal. And because her appeal was right, she still had opportunity, but because her appeal was right, because she humbled herself. Look what Jesus said in that 29th verse. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. Lord have mercy. See, oftentimes God don't, we don't know which way God going to do it, but we know he going to do it. But when you have the right approach, and when you have the right appeal, and when your faith is right, because God looks at the heart, he looks at the inside, he don't just look at the outside. God saw that she had faith. God knew that she knew that he is a healer. God, because of her action, because of her appeal, Jesus told her, he said, now wait a minute. Because of the way you answered that, because of the way you approached me, you got great faith. I want you to know that your daughter is healed. Go that way, because your daughter is healed. Lord have mercy, man. And then that 30th verse, they say, when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out of her daughter, laying upon the bed. And once again, you got to have faith. You got to know that Jesus is a healer. I used to hear how Jesus was a healer. And when I was young, I heard he was a healer. But it wasn't until I had kidney failure, polycystic kidney disease. And I stayed on dialysis for 3.5 years. But at the end of that 3.5 years, God gave me a brand new kidney transplant, which I've had for over 8 years. Now I don't base my testimony on what my mother told me or what my father told me or what my preacher told me. When I tell you God is a healer, I'm telling you what I know for myself. And he is a physical healer and a spiritual healer. All the time, it's not a physical healing that we need. Sometimes we need a spiritual healing. But we learned tonight from this Syrophoenician woman that if you have the right approach to Jesus, and if you give Jesus the right appeal, regardless of what else he has, that third point is she got the right approval. Because Jesus said, go. Your daughter is here. And I don't know, Sister Smith, nowadays we live in an age where, man, sometimes we don't have time to approach Jesus right. Sometimes we don't know how to make the right appeal, and that's why we don't get the right approval. Now, if I had time, Sister Smith, and I know you were reading it, Matthew tells this same story. And I wish you could enlighten our audience and get to see how Matthew looked at this situation and how Jesus handled according to what Matthew saw as opposed to what Luke looked at. And then we almost finished. In fact, that's over in Matthew, the 15th chapter. You recall that, Sister Smith?
Yes, I do. And that's Matthew 15, verse 21. And that's where I'll start, 21 through 28. So those of you who are listening, if you could thumb back through, go backwards to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And look what it says there from Matthew's view. And Jesus went from there and withdrew into the parts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from those borders and cried out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter suffers terribly from demon possession. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, for even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you wish. And her daughter was healed from that hour. And that's Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28.
Now, Pastor, in this, come on.
No, go right ahead.
Well, I was just saying, now, in this particular situation, Matthew brings up about the point he had to get his disciples straight here. Are you following?
Yes.
Disciples say, well, man, she bothering us, man. Send on. And Jesus, in Matthew's interpretation, had to remind the disciples that he came for all people. And we got to be careful how we treat people that come to Christ, that come to church. Because we'll run folks off because they're not like us. And disciples want to keep him for themselves. But Jesus said, I came for everybody. Jesus said, look here, I didn't just come for you. I came for all. But now let me see, can I bring this to a close. She had the what? Right approach. And I want to bring it around one more time. What have you heard about Jesus? Somebody out there, you've heard. And I wonder what she heard about Jesus. And when I look back in the scriptures, when I go back over, maybe she heard in chapter 1 of how he healed the leper. Maybe she heard how he healed Peter's mother-in-law hand, and many others. Maybe she heard about the man with the palsy in chapter 2 that Jesus healed. Maybe she heard about how he calmed the storm in chapter 4. Maybe she heard about the man with the withered hand in chapter 3 that he healed his hand. What was it? Maybe she heard about the compassion he had with the woman that had the issue of blood in chapter 5. But what have you heard about it? Somebody here, you got medical problems, you got financial problems, you have relationship problems. Jesus can fix it all. But you got to have the right approach. Now, let me just close this off. Jesus said unto her, "For this sin, go thy way, the devil is out of thy daughter." Great faith. We talked about faith though last week. And she already knew he could do it. And somebody out there, if you would just increase your faith and believe, God can do it. But now let me just deal with that dog right quick. See, before I met Jesus, I was a dog, and we all considered dog because we were what? Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We were born with a what? Sinful nature. I'm talking about before we met Jesus. We had no hope as a Gentile dog. We had no promise as a Gentile dog. We had no provisions as a Gentile dog. We had no master. We had no worship as a Gentile dog. As a matter of fact, before we met Jesus, we could be considered as stray dogs. We could be considered as flea bag dogs. I wish I had somebody here. We could be considered as an infected dog, infected with sin. Some of us were, if you tell the truth, was low-down dogs. Some of us wanted to be Snoop Dogg. Some of us were, I wish I had some witnesses right here, were lion dogs. And our life was so raggedy, we were stinking dogs. And some of us wanted the glamour so much, we wanted to be, a hot dog. And some of us wanted the big things in life so we could be the big dog. Some of us did so many low-down and dirty things that we were considered dirty dogs. I wish I had somebody here that were low-down when they were before they met Jesus. And somebody that haven't met Jesus, you still want to be the top dog. You still want to be the Snoop dog. You still want to be the lion dog. But guess what? Since I met Jesus, my master. And I don't know about you, but I still got some dog, but it's something about the dog in me. I ain't no any kind of dog. I'm not a stray dog no more. I'm not a wild dog. I'm not a low-down dog because I got a master now. I got a master in my life that makes sure I get all my shots of the gospel. I got a master in my life to make sure that he washed me in his word. I got a master in my life that makes me be obedient. I'm no longer a low-down dog. I'm no longer a hot dog. Since Jesus came into my life, he know how to make me sit down. He know how to make me stand up. He know how to make me, I'm talking about my master, y'all. He know how to make me roll over. He know how to make me fetch and go get it. I'm talking about a master. Look at, he made me a lap dog. Now you got to go to Gideon to understand about the lap dog. Because when Gideon went in the battle, he had too many folks. God told him, he said, look here, go down to the river, and those that lap like dogs, keep them. and all the rest of them sent away. And all in these closing days of grace, in this battle against evil, because we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. And God needs some lap dogs that, God have mercy, they only need a little bit to go on, but can still fight the war. He made me a watchdog. Watchdog is to sit on the wall and warn the people when danger comes. And Sister Smith, I don't mean no harm, but God got you as a watchdog. That's why you come on this radio. That's why you let the Lord use you to send the gospel out, because danger is coming. We're in the closing days of grace. And as a watchdog, when danger comes, you got a dog. My wife wanted a little old poodle. I said, I can't deal with no poodle now. If I'm going to get a dog, I got to get somebody that's going to work on the outside. And he ain't coming on the inside. His office is on the outside. And he needs, when somebody come, I need to know. And God has made a spiritual watchdog. I wish I had some watchdog out there, somebody that's sitting on the wall that's trying to tell a dying world, come to Jesus. Not only did he make me a lapdog, like Gideon had, not only did he make me a watchdog, like Habakkuk was, but he made me a rescue dog. And Sister Smith, I'm not talking about you now, but you're a rescue dog. Because you let the Lord use you through this program, you let the Lord use you through your heart-to-heart ministry to do what? Rescue people that are on their way to hell. Now, I don't mind. I might be a dog, but it's something about the dog in me. I ain't no any kind of dog. I got a master. When he whistle, I come. Lord have mercy. He feeds me well in his word. Look here, I got all my papers where I'm headed to glory. I got my salvation. He got my papers right. My name is in the book of life. I got a master that got me ready. Look here, I got a master that taught me how to be obedient, how to sit down, stand up. And when I think about Sister Smith, as I get ready to close here, how good God has been to this old dog. I'm talking about me. When I think about how he came down through 42 generations and died for my sin, I think about how he gave his hands to the nails. I'm talking about my master, y'all. Gave his head to the thorn. Gave his feet to the spike. When I think about how he was lifted high and dropped low. When I think about how my master was pierced in the side. And the Bible says, out came blood and water. When I see how he died for my sin. This old dog sin on Calvary's Hill. And when I think about how he got up on the third day morning, I can't do nothing but bow and say, wow, what a mighty God. I wish I had somebody out there. Right? I wish I had some more dogs. I wish somebody let the dogs loose. I wish I had somebody that when they think about how good God has been to them, they can bow down and say, wow, what a mighty God we serve. Yeah, God don't call me a dog. I might not have the right bloodline. I might not come from the Jewish bloodline. But I tell you what, I got a master now. Because I got a master. I can bow and say, wow. But there's something about the dog in me. Thank you, Sister Smith. And once again, keep on being a lap dog, Sister Smith. Keep on being a watchdog, Smith. Keep on being a rescue dog. because God, because Jesus, our master, taught us.
Amen.
And thank you. May God continue to bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, if you have not received a nugget from this expository teaching concerning the faith of a Syrophoenician woman, concerning her right approach, her right appeal, and her right approval, you need to re-listen to this teaching and revisit this so that it would sink into your soul. And Pastor Crow, I tell you, the Lord has just spoke to us through you, a obedient dog, and no harm intended. But I tell you, we are a well-kept dog. And because we have a master, as you have said, that takes time with us, and he speaks to our heart. He comforts us. He strokes the hurting pain in our heart. He just allows us to rest in him. And then for you to have said that our name, who are up under his lordship, is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's well kept. Can't nobody keep this dog, talking about myself, as well as the master that we serve. Praise the Lord. I hope you have allowed this master called Jehovah, Yahweh, God, the great I am, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, this master named Jesus, who died on that cross for our sins. He didn't have to do it, but he did. His obedience covered our sins, and it's just a blessing to know that we are under the master hand, and we are well-kept lap dogs, watchful dogs, rescue dogs, and obedient dogs that we could bow down and say, wow, what a mighty good God we serve. Hallelujah. I'm excited, Pastor Crow. And for those of you who are listening, you should be shouting, doing your hallelujah dance. You should have given a hand clap of praise. If not, you should have just worshipped him by the fruit of your lips, or a little skip in your dip, or something should have warmed the cockles of your heart.
Somebody, it ought to be some bow wows out there. Somebody.
That's what I'm saying.
It ought to be some bow wows.
Amen to that, brother. I tell you, this has been an awesome treat. And I just wanted to say thank you, Pastor Crow, again, for the obedience of you listening to the Holy Spirit bring this lesson, something about the dog in me. And I just pray and hope that you share this with somebody that you know that needs to hear this and be encouraged. And be encouraged. It encouraged me. And I tell you, I've had a trying week because of the loss of my mother, who has gone on to be with the Lord. But I tell you, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and how my mother can talk and walk and sing all day long in heaven, she's waiting on me because I know I'm going. And how about you? Are you under the hand of the master? Are you eating the bread, the crumbs that he falls from his mouth? And that is the word of God. Amen. Think about that. Become a child of God. Pastor Crow, let's pray a prayer of salvation. We can't let this good stuff go. As we pray for somebody who may not have the kind of master we have, Pastor Crow. So if you could do that, go ahead and take an opportunity to do so.
Okay. All heads bowed. All eyes closed. our hearts lifted. Our Father in heaven, we come now as lapdogs and watchdogs and rescue dogs, saying thank you for changing our life. Somebody out there still wants to be a stray dog. Somebody out there still wants to be a low-down dog. Somebody out there is still a lying dog. But thank be to God, we pray right now, you don't have to be no wild, stinky, infected dog. Because you can have a master. His name is Jesus. And he'll pick you up, clean you up, give you shots, teach you obedience, and he'll put you on the wall to warn his people. He'll help. He'll use you to rescue people from going to hell. And if you don't know him in the pardoning of your sin, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want him to come through me. I want to try to rescue you from going to hell. You can go to heaven from Houston, Texas. All you need is a master. And his name is Jesus. And he'll change your life. He'll put running in your feet, clapping in your hand, a bow wow in your mouth. But you got to give your life over to him. And somebody out there, you know you're living that dog life, but you can fall on your knees right now and say, Lord, I'm a low-down dog. I'm a wretch undone. But I believe you. I got faith in you. I know that you came to die for my sin. I want you to come into my life and sit on the throne of my life and take control of my life in the name of Jesus. I'm a sinner. I'm a low-down dog. But when you come into my life, I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, I want him as my master. I want him to come into my life because I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And right now, I believe that he died for my sin. I believe that you love the world so much that you sent your only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to come down and be my master, and I want him to be the master of my life right now in the name of Jesus. All you got to ask me, save me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And guess what? You can be saved. If you what? Believe it in your heart. If you confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you can be saved. Right now in radio land, in listening land, I hope somebody is praying that prayer. Say, Lord, I want your salvation. Change me to a lap dog that I can help in battle. Change me to a watchdog where I can warn your people on the wall. Change me into a rescue dog so I can keep men from going to hell through your grace and your mercy. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you take that testimony to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Give your hand to the preacher, your heart to God, and get a brand new master. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, this has just been a treat, a delight, a fulfillment of my soul. It just really was the food or the bread that I needed to stand strong and continue to go forward, to press on. I tell you, thank you so much again, Pastor Crow, for bringing
God
this beautiful expository teaching and chapter
7, Book of Mark. And I just hope that you continue to do further teaching and further research and further listening in the Word of God, because this is what feeds our soul that we may grow and do the works that are set before us. Thank you again. Praise God. And this brings us to the end of this particular program, Mission from the Heart Radio. And I just thank you for listening and being faithful to the ministry, but faithful to God is such a blessing. So always remember that the grass withered and the flowers faded away, but the Word of God stands forever. So God bless you, and have a blessed service on Sunday, and continue to tune in to Mission from the Heart Radio, and just share this with others that are in your circle. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and God bless and good night.
God bless you.